Hallelujah. Can I tell you the promises of God are all yes and amen. They're just yes and amen to you. Hallelujah. God's got good things for you. He's going to take you to them if you'll just get on the truck. Amen. Hallelujah. Just get in the bus, man. Come on, because God's going to take you. God's going to take you. Sometimes we go through some things that seem hard. But God says, I know who you are. I know what I've called you for. I know what's going on in your life. And I will show myself strong on your behalf. That's what God says to you. He'll show himself strong on your behalf because he loves you. Loves you enough to send his son to die for you on a cross. Amen? A cruel cross. A cruel, bloody cross. He sent his son to die for you. So I'll tell you what, you're in a good place. Amen? If you feel like you're in a good place, say amen. Yeah. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, I'm in a good place. Go to the other side and say, hey. Hey. That's all you got to say is, hey. Hallelujah. You're in a good place. Hey. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I was all excited about talking about building. Came in last week, I think our theme for the year is building. Year to build. And so we talked a little bit about planning last week, and I had a little thought that I was going to start on planning for this week. I mean, not start on planning, but continue the planning for a little bit, because planning takes time. Is that right? It does. You want to do it right? You want to plan right? Is that right? Is that okay? Okay, but somewhere in the plan, in my plan, God stepped in and says, no, you're not doing that. I said, okay, all right. All week long, for some reason, I've been thinking of Jonah the prophet. You guys, how many of you know Jonah? Who he is? Jonah the prophet. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that are unbelievers. A lot of unbelievers think that Jonah is just an old story, a cool story, a myth maybe. But how many of you know it's real? The story of Jonah is real. You know, when I first got saved, and I found that the book of Jonah in the Bible, I couldn't believe it. I go, hey, it's talking about the whale. And the guy that gets swallowed up, man. I couldn't believe it. I was a Catholic most of my life. So I guess I wasn't listening. How many of you know what I mean? Anybody listening this morning? No, yeah. I guess I wasn't listening. So I don't remember. I remember the story, but I didn't know that it was in the Bible. And but the story of Jonah is just an incredible story, for one thing. Kind of gives a window on who we are. We can be the way Jonah was. I mean, you know that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody in the house ever run from God? Yeah. Anybody ever done that? Hallelujah. I don't know what show it's on or everything, but I think, you know, I don't know what, but there's a saying, something that I know that I've heard, we got a runner. You know, and the angels are saying, oh man, we got a runner. And you know, it was Jonah. Amen. So we're going to turn our attentions to Jonah just a little bit. I just want to talk about this a little bit. One of the things about Jesus, Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So that's a sign I'm going to give you. And if Jesus talked about Jonah being inside of a fish for 3 days and three nights, I'm going to tell you that this absolutely, because Jesus cannot lie. Is that right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And being that he cannot lie, anything that he said, anything that he talked about, they were truths. If he talked about Lazarus and the rich man, if he talked about them being inside of a cavern where it was hot on one side and nice on the other side, and there was water and everything. If he talked that way, then what he's telling us are truths, because he cannot tell a lie. Isn't that nice about God? You can trust him. He won't tell you a lie. How many know men will tell you lies? Is that right? Anybody in the house ever told a lie? I think I asked that last week, didn't I? Don't answer that. No. Don't wave at me. Wave at me if you told a lie. Don't do that. That's okay. Can't count them all. I'll tell you what. Jesus cannot tell a lie. Talked about the prophet Jonah. Jonah was a prophet that You guys know Sennacherib? He was an Assyrian king. And he had been destroying all these nations in the Middle East, and he had been going against all the nations. And he sent a letter to Hezekiah. You guys remember Hezekiah the king? He sent a letter to Hezekiah and told him, hey, don't count on the Egyptians to come and help you. Don't count on your own strength to help you, because I'm going to wipe you out if you try to fight against me. He sent a letter to Hezekiah, and he said, and one of the things he said, don't even try to trust in your God, because the nations around you trusted in their gods, and not a one of them delivered them. Hallelujah. Sennacherib was from the city of Nineveh. That's where he was at. That was his place, Nineveh. This is a city that God told Jonah to go to, okay? All right. Later on in their archaeological, in their digs, when they're digging around, they found these clay tablets. And Sennacherib was very meticulous about how he wrote down every king that he destroyed in the Middle East. How he did it, how many men it took. All his victories, he wrote them down on these clay tablets. They were found in the ruined city of Nineveh. They were found there. And it talks about, one of the things it says, I have Hezekiah, I have surrounded him like a caged bird. I mean, this is just history, man. I'm just telling you history. He said, I have surrounded him like a caged bird. But how many of you know, remember, that when Hezekiah and the people cried out unto God, the Bible says that God wiped them out. He killed them all. So when they got up in the morning, they were all dead. So Hezekiah, got out of here, man, took off and ran, went back. Those tablets of all their victories says that they had Hezekiah caged like a bird. And then it says nothing about them taking Jerusalem. It says nothing about them turning tail and running. It says nothing about that. History even says this about Nineveh. Nineveh was a city, I mean, it's in the area of Syria. But we're having problems with the Syrians. How many know that? Right now we're having a lot of problems that's going on in the world are coming out of this part of the world, Syria. The Assyrians. Even to this day. So Syria was an enemy to Israel. And still is. You guys know that? They hate Israel. And Israel, they hate Syria. Is that right? It's just the way it is right now. Do you know that God's going to change all that around? Do you know he's going to fix things? You know that God can fix things? And you know, if what we would think is impossible is possible with God. Isn't that cool? Amen. What's possible, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Amen. God's going to fix things. It's coming. Not here yet, but it's coming. Amen? So if you will, let's turn your attention. Let's go into the book of Jonah. And we're going to talk about him a little bit. We're going to talk about what he did and we're going to see. I'm going to say this. I'm not real sure what's coming out of this message this morning. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. Because all I know was God placed Jonah on my heart. And every time I tried to look up, think about building and planning and setting a foundation, Jonah shows up. I said, hey, Jonah wasn't part of that. Come on, God. What are you doing?
I just didn't know it.
So apparently God has something else. And I'm going to say this just out this morning. Don't run from God. Don't run from him. Don't run from him. He loves you. He cares for you. And he's got what is best for you. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's go to Jonah. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray. Do you mind? No, thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I'm not sure what you want to say this morning, but I'm going to say this, Father. Help me. Fill me with your word, Father. You have told me, Lord, that if I would open my mouth, you would fill it. That you would pour out water to those that are thirsty, Father. I just thank you for that this morning. So, God, as we look at your word, God, would you just speak to our hearts? Maybe it's me, Lord, that's running from you. Maybe it's me. But God, I just want you to speak to us this morning. I give you all the praise, all the glory and the honor, Lord. For we can do nothing without you, Lord. But with you, Lord, we can do all things. Because you want to strengthen us, God. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting at Jonah chapter 1. Four short chapters. Somewhere in here, he's going to talk to you. Okay? Come on, get ready. Somewhere in here, he's going to speak into your heart. Hallelujah. So Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Verse 3 says, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Anybody ever had somebody, God, tell you to do something and you say, "Hey, well, you kind of ignore it"? Jonah didn't just ignore it. He took off. Jonah was, he lived in the area of Galilee, close to Jerusalem. When God told him to go to Nineveh, Nineveh was over here about 200 miles. Not a short trip. Jonah went to Joppa. Joppa is down here. Found a ship that was going to Tarshish, which is up here. Bought a ticket. Got in the boat and went to Tarshish with those guys. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares of the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down on the sides of the ship where he lay and was fast," what? "Asleep." Can you imagine that? I don't know if Jonah was a sailor or not, man, but I've been on some ships that made me feel kind of weird. You know, Rosie and I went on a cruise to Mexico, I guess it was. Left Long Beach and headed down. And going down there, it was okay. I was, man, just like walking right here. But there was a storm that pulled in when we were down there, and so they were headed back. And that ship was doing this, and it kind of, whoa, your step belt. I mean, you guys have been there. How many have been there? And it feels, it's got a weird feeling to it. And I don't know, that was just this huge ship. I could see Jonah in this little ship back at that time. This thing's being kicked around, spun around, everything else. And he's in the bottom, what? Sleeping. Do you think Jonah was in peace? How many ever seen that picture of there's a wind, man, and there's a little bird in the tree. And this is a perfect picture of peace. And the little bird's in there sleeping, and there's this big storm going on around him. I really don't think Jonah was in peace. Jonah was running from what God had told him to do. So he's in this bottom of the ship. He's sleeping. I don't think it was a very peaceful sleep, because God was shaking the boat. Amen? It's like God saying, "Wake up! Wake up, Jonah!" Jonah's not waking up. They had lightened the ship. They threw things out of the boat. And then verse 6 says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come up, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Let's draw sticks, or draw straws, if you want to. Casting lots, is that right? The short straw had to fall on somebody, is that right? Does God know the straws? Yeah. I wonder if Jonah's sitting there, I hope I get a long straw. I hope I get a long straw. But he got the short straw, didn't he? Oh, you're the one. Hallelujah. For the reason of this, I mean, it was just a horrible day at sea. But they're blaming Jonah. And they said to him, tell us, we pray thee, whose cause this evil is upon us. And what is your occupation, and whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And what is thy country, and of what people are you? And Jonah answered and said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Listen to what he tells them. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God. Does he fear him enough to obey him? Apparently not. Can I tell you, this is just one of those segments of time in Jonah's life where he went through something. Isn't that all right? How many know we all go through stuff? Anybody gone through stuff? We all go through stuff. This is just a segment in time. This is just a testimony of what went on with Jonah. But it is a story of miraculous proportion. Is that right? Yeah. We're going to find that out. So he tells them, he goes, I'm a man of God. And I'm running from God. Verse 10 says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He told them, I'm running from God. Can I tell you, when you're running from God, sometimes those people around you, are you going through some storms. You can be going through storms because you're running from God, and it's affecting folks around you. Do you know that? It happens. It's just because you're running from God. Can I tell you, just don't run from God. I'll probably say that to you 50 times this morning. Don't run from God. Run to God. Find out what he has for you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So he says this. He said to them, take me up, cast me out into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now there's a courageous young man, isn't that right? He said, cast me into the sea. Do you know that all those guys knew what would happen if they threw Jonah overboard? What would happen to Jonah? He's going to drown, is that right? What was Jonah thinking? Death, suicide by overboard, man overboard, I don't know what you can call it. He says, hey, throw me over. Maybe even Jonah thought, man, you know what? I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. So you know what? I'd rather take that than go do what God wants me to do. Isn't that crazy how we can be like that? We could, sometimes we'd rather do anything but what God has told us to do. And folks, I want to tell you something. God's sharpening your pencil this morning. You know what I'm saying? God is sharpening you. He says, I need you to know something. I'm going to be speaking to you. I'm going to be telling you things, and you need to be responsive to what I'm telling you. Is that okay? Because listen, God has purpose and plan for you. And he has a purpose and plan for those that are outside that don't know him. And we got to get ready. We got to get ready for it, folks. Because God is doing a harvest. He is pulling in. He's going to be pulling in. And folks, it's not just about me and what I can do in my little church here. Is that right? It's not that. It is about what God wants to do in a city, in a state, in a country, on the world. It's what the king, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Throw me overboard. I'll be okay. No, man, you ain't going to be okay. And verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. That's the one word I practice saying that, tempestuous. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. You know, I love the heart of these guys. Don't you love them? You know what? They weren't willing to throw this man overboard. As a matter of fact, hey, boys, break out your oars. We're going to take him to land. Let's take him over there. Let's get this boat over the shore. Row, row, row your boat. Come on. They could row all day long. Is that right? God's going to keep that thing going in circles out there. Is that right? Go ahead. Row, 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 row. Remember those old shows where they showed that guy? Boom, boom. These guys trying to row. Oh, man. I bet they rowed and rowed and rowed, and they could not get that ship anywhere that they wanted it to go. Crazy. Let me just say this to you. Whatever problem you're having, God wants to deal with it one-on-one with you. Period. There can be a lot of folks around you try to help you, try to get you through it. But let me just say, Jesus will get you through it. When you allow Him to come in, you're going to find that those things that are troubling you and hurting you, and yet Jesus will begin to speak to those things. And sometimes, folks, we try to lean on one another so much that God is saying, hey, where am I in this? Come on, man. It's like the nuns from my Catholic school when we were small. Rose and I would be dancing. I didn't dance much at that time, but we were dancing. And the nun would come with her cane right in between us. Make room for the Holy Ghost. That's what they used to tell us. Make room for the Holy Ghost. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to make room for the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to allow Jesus to speak to us. I'm not trying to lessen anybody. I know we're all good friends and everything. We're all brothers and sisters and everything. But we need each and every one of us. I don't know how many ways I can say this. You need to find Jesus. You need to find out what He's saying to you. You. And when you find out, you're going to say, that's all I needed. One word from Him can dissolve a lot of problems. One word. When you know it's Him. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy how that works. I tried this. I tried that. I tried talking to this brother. I listened to this guy on the radio. I tried this. I tried that. Did you try Jesus? Well, they're talking about Jesus. No, did you get on your knees? Did you? The Bible says if you seek Him, you'll find Him. That's what He says. But you got to seek Him with your whole heart. Hallelujah. They rode and they rode and they rode. Finally, they gave up. And then it says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beg you, God, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done as it has pleased you. God, we're going to throw him over. We're sorry about this. We don't want to throw him over. We tried to get him ashore. Hallelujah. It's going to be a long morning, huh? If I keep going the way I'm. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And he said to them, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong spot. Verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and they cast him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Isn't that crazy? Is that something? These guys, man, trying to get him over by the edge of the boat. Boom, throw him over. And then all of a sudden, whoof. That has got to be troubling. Is that right? That has to be, whoa. What kind of God is this? His God wanted us to toss him over. Do you know that God was getting ready to show He was getting ready to show Jonah just how powerful he was. Just how big of a God he was. I love it, man. Folks, we have no idea how big God is in our lives. We've got no possible idea of how big He is in your life, how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, and how much He will, man, He will move mountains to help you. Is that right? That's just the God we serve. He loves you. Hallelujah. And He's after Jonah. How many would say, yeah, He's after Jonah, isn't He? He's after Jonah. Jonah had a message. Well, that's it. poor guy. Probably drowned by now. It's been 5 minutes. He's been out there. We don't see him anywhere. Where'd Jonah go? Do you remember? Yeah, I know you remember. Hallelujah. It says, verse 16, then the man feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Jonah helped those guys figure out who God was, who the real God was. Amen. And then verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish, how long? 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. I like that. God had prepared a great fish. Hallelujah. I don't think it happened on the spot. I believe that years before, God had created a fish that would swallow a man, and it had a bed and a chairs and everything else inside the fish. Says, man, God prepared a submarine. Is that for Jonah? Is that right? God had prepared a fish for Jonah. See, God knows what's going on. He knew a while before that Jonah was going to run. We got a runner. He knew it was going to happen. He knew that Jonah was going to go. He knew the men were going to throw him over. And he knew this precise place for that prepared fish to be so that he could scoop him up. Is that all right? He's gone. God sent a water Uber for him. Is that right? We got Uber. An Uber. Uber whale. Uber fish. I don't know. Big fish. Swallowed Jonah. Jonah sitting inside. I'm going to tell you something. How many know it's probably not a warm place? I don't think it was warm. I think it was cold. That big fish, whatever it was probably swim pretty low. I don't know. I imagine it was pretty dark. What do you think? I mean, hello? Can you imagine him in there? Can you imagine just being in the belly of a whale alive and saying, hello, anybody here? Oh, my goodness. Remember when that shipmaster told him, hey, what are you doing, sleeper? Wake up. Call unto your God. Does it say that Jonah called on his God? It didn't, huh? You know when you're doing something wrong? And you know it. God knows it. You know it. You're doing something wrong. The last thing you want to do is pray. Is that right? Just for some reason, I'm not going to pray. But now, look at this next chapter. First thing right in that chapter, after he's in the belly of the whale, verse 1, chapter 2, then, see that first word? Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by wisdom of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard me, and thou heard my voice. For thou had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then said I, am cast out of your sight. Then he says this, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You know what he's looking at? It's called prayer, folks. I'm going to look unto my God to where he sits, and I'm going to pray. You know what? When you're praying to God, you're looking towards his temple. Doesn't matter if you're facing north, south, east, or west. Like a lot of religions, I got to face east every time I pray. Get down. Is that east? No, that's east, right? Yeah, get down and pray east. I mean, no. When you break open a prayer with God, you are facing his temple. You know that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he says, yet I will. He says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And I'm going to pray. He says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Man, it's dark. Didn't say that, but it's dark. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Into thy holy what? Temple. See that? When you're praying, folks, you're in the temple, all right? Praise God. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Isn't it funny that he would say that now? They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Lord, the things that I'm so caught up in, Lord, the things that I feel are so important in my life, if I forsake you, man, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it, Lord. Verse 9 says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. And then he says this, salvation is of the Lord. Can I tell you once again, I'm going to say this. There's only one name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. His name is Jesus. He died for you. Gandhi didn't die for you. Baha'u'llah didn't die for you. What's the guy's name, the little chubby guy? Buddha. Thank you. The Buddha did not die for you. There's only one name given under heaven by where men must be saved. His name is Jesus. Not Sarita House of Worship, not the Catholic Church, not Baptist Church. None of those things. Jesus. Amen? Come on, man. Amen. You can say amen. It kind of helps me out. When you don't say amen, you know what? It makes me feel like, hey, everybody's asleep already. Yeah. Hallelujah. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the next verse says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the land. Sounds good. I looked in a few translations. They all say vomited. I was going to say, man, come on, God. You could have used a nicer word. Spewed him out. Threw him up. Threw up. Him out. No, man. Most every translation. How many of you are looking at your Bible? It says vomited.
Mine says spit.
Yours says what?
Spit.
Spit. Well, vomited. Jonah out on that fish. You know, that fish says, man, it's about time I got rid of that. I had some indigestion here for 3 days and three nights. Blah. And then Jonah walks away. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And look at the very next verse, says this. Arise, go to Nineveh. This is good. Verse says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Do you understand that God had a plan? And he says, you're going to conform to my plan today. Is that okay? Today. You know, God gave him a second chance, didn't he? Hey, you're ready to go to Nineveh and preach to that city. He was a reluctant missionary, wasn't he? Just did not want to go. And you know, we can be reluctant missionaries in our own neighborhoods. Is that right? We can be reluctant missionaries, you know, in a grocery store where we see we could help somebody, and yet we hold to what we've got, keep it bottled up, keep it quiet, and don't say anything. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're not here to judge the world. We're not here to hurt the world. We're not here. We are here to help them. Because if they don't know him, who else is going to tell them about Jesus that can help them? Who else? It's up to us. Is that right? Hallelujah. So he says this. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. It was on the Tigris River. It says 3 days' journey. That's the size of the city. How many of you have been to Disneyland? Anybody been to Disneyland? Can you see it in one day? Nah, it's a 2-day journey, maybe a 3-day journey. Yeah, getting in and out and everything. All the time it takes for you to stand in line. Oh, and Nineveh was a 3-day journey. It took about 3 days to go all the way across it to get and see the city. It was actually, like I said, it was over 200 miles away from where Jonah hung out. So it was a trip. I mean, it wasn't just the same day that God spit him out of the whale and then he took off, and that same day he entered in. It was a while. It took a few days for him to get there. And now he's probably looking pretty bad, probably smelling pretty bad. How do you know that? Probably, you know, hopefully he had that seaweed that was around his neck is off, and he's coming into the city. People are noticing him. People might have even noticed him. And this is me. When that fish puked him out of... threw him out on the shore, There might have been some people that know, hey, check it out, man. Look at that guy. He comes walking out, man, all gooey and all messed up, man. Probably jump back in the water to clean up a little bit. And then, you know, so there might have been people watching him. But anyway, I've heard people talk about how the acids inside the fish's stomach might have made him lose his hair and made him look kind of weird. But I don't know. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything about people watching him either. But that's just me. Is that okay? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, about 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put it in sackcloth. And the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So apparently Jonah's preaching did some good. Is that right? Even the king said, all right, we are going to seek God. We're going to stop. We're going to quit doing what's evil. And I imagine they were waiting for 40 days. Is that right? Because Jonah told them 40 days this is going to happen. You're going to be wiped out within 40 days. So they repented. And then verse 10 of chapter 3 says this, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do to them. And he did it not. Praise God, huh? Amen. Praise God. We say, man, God's a good God. How many know God's a good God? Is that right? Are you happy about that? Are you glad? Yeah. Apparently Jonah wasn't very happy about the outcome. Jonah said, man, hey, God, I hope it looks kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, I wonder how he's going to destroy this city. Jonah actually went up on a hill to watch what God was going to do to the city. But then verse 1 in chapter 4 says this, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, check this out. I pray thee, O Lord, wasn't this my saying when I was yet in my own country? Therefore, I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Jonah said, you know what? I knew it, God. I knew you wouldn't destroy him. I knew it. What'd you send me over here for? I knew you would not do it because you're a good God. You're full of grace and mercy. And as soon as they said they were sorry, boom, they're fixed. Come on, God. Can you imagine that? Imagine him upset about it. He goes, man. Verse 3 says, now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Isn't that something how, you know what, sometimes we focus on ourselves so bad. Do you know that? Hey, it's all about me. Is that right? It's all about me. It's about what's going on in my life. Now they think I'm just some wild man that came and talked to them because you didn't come through in your word, God. You should have done something, God. You should have showed yourself for something. But now, it looks like I lied to them. Is that right? Oh, man. Come on, man. Jonah was thinking about himself. Then the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Isn't that crazy? God caused this gourd vine to start growing there by him. And it began to grow, and there's a gourd on it. Distracted Jonah for a while, didn't it? He was wanting to see what was going to happen to the city. He says, God, I'm mad at you. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. And now, I'm going to go up here and just sit here and see if you do anything. And now this gourd, this vine starts growing, and Jonah's, hey, man, check it out. It's nice. I like it. Hey, man, it's growing over my head. I like the shade. Jonah's kind of engulfed with his little gourd. My tree, my bush. Verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day. Isn't that, is God being mean to Jonah? I'll tell you why. He prepared a worm for Jonah, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass when the sun rose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, I do well to be angry, even to death. I should be angry, God. That's what Jonah's telling him. Yeah, I should be angry. I should be angry. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which you have not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that's 60,000 people, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. And that's the end of the story. Aren't you glad? I want to tell you something. You know, God was teaching him a very, very good lesson about how God sees things, how merciful he is. Is that right? I want to just say this to you. I made a note of this. The world population clock, January 2017. Does anybody know how many people are on the planet? Estimated amount of people on the planet? How much? 7 million? 7 billion, yeah. 8 million. According to the world population clock, it's 7.5 billion. So both of you guys are pretty cool. 7.5 billion people on this earth. That's a long way from Adam. Isn't that right? Isn't that crazy? 7.5 billion people. Within 100 years, actually within 83 years, it's gonna. It will increase to 11.2 billion in 2100. It's a lot of folks. Is that right? A lot of people. And you know how God told Jonah, he says, hey man, go to Nineveh and tell them. Go at Nineveh and tell them to repent. Watch this. Would you put up Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16? Folks, I want to say something. This is one of the things that right at the end of this, I wasn't sure what God was saying to him, but I'm going to say this. I know that God is trying to get us mobilized. How many of you like, you know what I mean by mobilized? He wants us to begin to move. And this is what it says. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Folks, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in Jesus Christ because a lot of times nobody's ever told them. Do you know that? They've listened to people that don't know God and what their ideas and what their concepts and what their ideologies are, and they'll listen to them, and we will sit back and just, well, I'm going to tell you something. That right there where it says, go ye into all the world, is the same thing that God was telling Jonah. Go to Nineveh. He's telling us, folks. When I read this, I sensed it in my spirit. God is saying, go, tell them. Go and tell them. Tell who, God? Whoever. Is that right? You can say, well, God, you didn't tell me to tell Fred. God, you didn't tell me to tell Sally. God says, you go and tell them. Folks, are we Are we taking advantage of the time that we think we have? Are we? Do we think we have more time than what we really have? Do we really know? Do we know? We don't know. But God is saying, I want you to go and tell them. Doesn't matter who. We have to start here. Is that right? We have to start in our city. We have to go. We need to be speaking to people and say, hey, man, God loves you. We don't need to be telling them that, you know what you're doing is wrong, bro. Hallelujah. We don't need to be telling them that. You know that? Why? They already know it. They already know it's wrong. They sense it when they do it. They know it's wrong. What they need is somebody to tell them, do you know that God has a plan for you? He loves you. And he will take you out of all of your problems. He'll move you from one place to another because he is for you and he's not against you. It's an easy thing to say. But there seems to be a barrier between folks. Is that right? We just don't want to reach in and say, hey, man, come here, man. Let me talk to you about Jesus, man. Or you know what? God just loves you, man. We don't want to break that barrier for some reason. Where God would tell us, I want you to break those barriers. I want you to step into somebody's life and say, hey, man, hey, God can take care of this. God can heal you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Hallelujah. But folks, I sense that maybe we might be running our own little rush. We got runners. Is that right? We got some runners in the house. Why? Oh, I don't want to say nothing to them. Oh, I don't want to say nothing to him. Oh, they're just going to get upset. There's a young man up at Starbucks. He's a friend of mine. I pray for him. He's doing what the Word of God says is wrong. And I know it. But yet he's a friend of mine. He asked my daughter, hey, where's your dad at? He knows who we are. He does. I've told him God could take care of this. All we have to do is befriend them and love them. Because it's not our love, it's God's love that's going to flow through it. Hallelujah. I cannot stand and watch him and not say anything to him. He is a friend of mine. And I care about him. What's it going to take for all of... What's it going to take? I'm not, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm... Dude, you don't do nothing. You know, I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, what's it going to take for us to step into people's lives? What will it take? Are we going to wait till they're almost dead? Are we going? What's it going to take for us to step in their lives and say, man, you know what? God loves you, man. You're having problems? God loves you. My friend thinks that homosexuality is okay. I think just me talking to him speaks to him. Because God has a way of speaking through those things. You know what I'm saying? It's a spirit. Can I tell you that homosexuality and lesbianism and all that stuff, it's a spirit. It is an incorrect spirit. It is a spirit of confusion. Is that right? Because the Word of God says that God is not the author of confusion. And I know, folks, I know we live in a world that accepts these things. But the Word of God does not accept it. And if the Word of God does not accept these things, I have a hard time. I cannot go against the Word of God. But the Word of God says that it is a spirit of confusion. It is a confounding spirit. God's not the author of confusion. If he made you a guy, you're a guy. Is that right? If he made you a girl, you're a girl. If you're a girl, you're designed for a guy. If you're a guy, you're designed for a girl. You guys are still awake, huh? Listen. It's simple. But folks, God does not want us condemning any of them. He says, you speak my word to them. You love them. You pray for them. You watch over them. You ask for God's best in their life. You ask for me to move into their life. And then we'll see. Hallelujah. Folks, can anybody here change a heart? Can anybody change a heart? Can you change somebody's mind? Absolutely not. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. And that's what he does. That's what he does well. It's his work, not mine. I can't teach you anything. I can't show you anything. It's his work. He individually with you, he steps in and he pushes you along and say, man, this is what it is. This is what the word of God says to you. That way no man can glorify. That way, Brother Henry told me this. If it's truth, you got it by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. He gets all the glory. Hallelujah. He must increase. I must. He must increase. I must decrease. Hallelujah. It's a simple thing. And God is saying, I want you to go into the world and speak to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's crazy, huh? Such a message. Hallelujah. I got one more scripture for you. Could you put up Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14? Hallelujah. It says, verse 10 says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Is that right? Come on. If you agree with this, say yeah. Love works no ill to his neighbor. You know that neighbor that you've been wanting to grab him by the neck and drag him out in the road and beat him up? Remember, you know that neighbor? Love works no ill to his neighbor. You know that young man? Oscar, come here, mijo. Come here, mijo. Don't tell anybody I said this, okay? Can you guys keep a secret? Yeah, okay. The first time I met this guy, I wanted to knock him down on the sidewalk and drag his nose on the sidewalk. Because he had gotten a hold of my baby girl. You guys, does anybody relate to that? Yeah, you know what I mean. But you know what? I love this guy. He's my son. See, I gained a son because the Lord taught me to love. I gained a son because I... Thank you, Mio. Sorry. When you operate with God, you gain. It's all nothing but gaining when you're operating with God. So when you're feeling ill towards your neighbor, drop it. Let it go and see what God has for you. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Is that right? It's not how good you go. How good you... Ron, you look so good today coming to church, man. God bless you. It's not how good you look. Amen? It's love fulfills the law. And that knowing the time, it's now high time to wake out of sleep. Remember what the shipmaster told Jonah? What are you doing, man? Where are you asleep? Get up. Get up. We're in trouble. Hey, today, folks, I'm going to tell you, we are in a time where we need to be awake concerning these things. Is that okay? That's what it... It's high time to wake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than... when we believed. The night is far spent. How many say amen? Folks, I'm serious, folks. I really believe God's getting ready to pull this in. I believe God's getting ready to pull the plug. Is that right? Hallelujah. The earth's been resuscitated enough. God says, okay, take it off the machine. I'm coming. Is that right? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on what?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You give your heart to the Lord, spend time with Him, talk to Him, pray to Him, spend time in the Word, talk to Him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for what? For the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's high time that we wake out of sleep and we begin to walk in what God called us to walk. The world is depending upon us. God is depending upon us. We are the instruments of harvest in the earth. Do you know that? We are the instruments. That's why you're here, because you're an instrument of harvest. Come on into the house of God. Come on. You know what? Hey, man, where do you go to church? Yeah, well, good, man. Pray and ask God to be in your presence, let His presence be in your house, and you just watch what God will do. Hallelujah. Folks, not everybody needs to come here. Is that all right? You guys better keep coming, but no, folks, God is going to do something that is so amazing in the world of God. Just like when He took the children of Israel out of Egypt, signs and wonders were happening all around them, and then He pulled them out of Egypt. Folks, the body of Christ, when she's operating in the wedding gown that she's been given, when she's operating in the love that she's been given, when she's operating in the understanding of who God is and what He's doing in the earth, signs and wonders will be happening. Things will be taking place. The world will be seeing things. It will be a harvest like no other harvest before, and then we're gone. I believe it. And I believe God is saying the harvest is on. No more runners. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have any runners in this house. Is that right? Let's go after God with all our hearts and all our soul and all our mind. Would you stand? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I hope everybody got something out of the message this morning. I hope you did. Because I'm going to tell you something. I had no message. All I had was read the book of Jonah. Okay, God. I will say this to you. God is expecting you. God's expecting you to go into all the earth, preach the gospel to every creature. Those that hear and believe they will be saved, and those they won't, they will be damned. How many of you say, yeah? I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you as a pastor, I'm going to say, this week, would you ask God to show you somebody this week you can minister to? Some of you might even say, hey, God, I want one every day. Give me somebody every day. Help me to speak to somebody every day. How many say, yeah? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be about our Father's business. Is that right? We really need to be about His business. And His business, Jesus said, I'll tell you what He says, I came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. When it's His business, that's our business, because He dwells in us. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. So open your mouth and open your mouth wide. Spend more time with God. And when you hit the streets, say, come on, God. Everybody say, come on. Come on, God. Let's do it, man. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you, and we'll dismiss you. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for what You're doing for Your people, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are in this moment infusing everyone that's in the house, the sound of My voice, what You've given us, Father God. You are infusing a boldness in the name of Jesus to go and to preach the gospel, to speak to those that are unloved, to love those, hallelujah, that have no way. I thank You for it, God. I praise You for it, God. So I give You all the glory and honor even now, Lord. Father, let us be partakers and let us be workers in the harvest according to Your word. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God.